Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Contrary to the clear letter of the law, the San Francisco judge, Christopher Hite, denied Sandra Susan Merritt's request to the Superior Court to dismiss counts 1 through 14 of the criminal charges filed by the Attorney General because he had failed to refile those charges according to the time prescribed by the law. Very clear, cut and dry, should have been dismissed, but the judge refused to do so. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Now, Judge Hite, the state court judge, said that the Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, quote, intended, close quote, intended, Matt, he said he intended to refile the previously dismissed counts against Merritt, and he gave him until the close of the business day of the day of the hearing a week ago to correct what he called a, quote, clerical error, close quote. There is no exception for, well, Judge, the law gives an exception if I didn't file, but I intended to file, or if there's a, quote, clerical error, meaning I just never filed the complaint. The law says that when a charge is filed against a defendant, criminal charge, and if that particular charge, in this particular case, 14 of them, are dismissed, then if the state wants to refile those charges, they have to do so within 10 days. Not 24 hours, not 40, 10 days. They get 10 full days to refile the same charges that were previously dismissed and add some additional facts to comply with the law, whatever the issue is. 10 days. 10 days went by, more than 10 days went by, 2 months have gone by, still nothing. We asked for this to be dismissed. The statute says if they did not do it within the 10 days, then they must be dismissed. You cannot bring those again. Case closed.
Uh-huh.
But not so in California, apparently.
Well, this is not for subjective, you know, this is a finding of law. This is an objective standard. The judge needed to follow the law here, and instead he said he circumvented the law, did what he wanted to do. The case is a travesty to begin with. The charges should have never been brought. It's a clear politically motivated attack on Susan Merritt. But the fact that this judge, I don't get to say, well, I intended to be in court to dispute my traffic fine, my traffic ticket. Well, you get a default judgment against you when you don't show up.
Yeah.
And that's what basically what happened here. They didn't show up for court. There's a default judgment. It's over. It should be over with. Is there an appeals process here, Matt?
There is. And that's the next level that we will pursue in this case. We're not going to let this happen just to go by and continue to defend against 14 counts that have no business being in court. California has the Attorney General. And this Attorney General has about, what, 4,500 staff? A very large budget. And this Attorney General had the counts dismissed. State's highest law enforcement officer, 14 counts dismissed because they did not comply with the statute to begin with. He has 10 days to refile those. He already has drafted those. He needs to add more information to comply with the law, to put the defendant, Sandra Merritt, on notice as to what those charges are and what parts of the videotape he is alleging he's going to use as evidence against these individuals, Sandra and David DeLayden. But he didn't do it. And so when Harry Mehet, our attorney, appeared in court to file this motion to dismiss, still he hadn't done it, 2 months. The judge agreed that, yes, that's what the law says, yes, that's what the facts are, but you know what, I don't like the conclusion. Well, it doesn't matter whether the judge likes the conclusion. That's what the law is. That's what the facts show. It's not your job to like or dislike the conclusion. That's the legislature, and the legislature has already set this, and the courts have already set this. So in this case, since the 14 counts were not refiled within the 10-day period, the court has no power to fix whether you call it I intended to, I made a mistake, dismissal's the only remedy. The law is crystal clear.
Could you appeal it now? A, could you take it to a higher court and say this must be dismissed? If they do move forward and she's convicted by some weird chance of any of these 14 charges, doesn't that set up an appeal?
Yeah, it does, both ways. I mean, we could appeal it now, which we are working on, but also if at the end of the day things go the wrong way, and they shouldn't based on the law, but again, you know, this shouldn't have based upon the law as well. So if they ultimately do and there's an appeal, then we could also bring it up there. I can tell you what, this is an error that has to be corrected one way or another, whether now on the appeal or later through a subsequent appeal, it will be corrected. But this just goes to show you, this is the problem, Matt, with the rule of law not being followed. I mean, this is pretty clear. It's basically almost like saying you have a certain statute of limitations. You have to file your lawsuit within a period of time, and you don't file it. And a couple of months go by, and you come into court and you say, you know what? I intended to file it. You know, I don't know why. It was a clerical error. It was sitting on my desk, and I just never mailed it. So what? That's not an excuse.
No, the judge doesn't get to say at that point, well, I'm going to waive the statute of limitations, and we're going to go ahead. And that's set in stone, just like this was set in stone.
Yeah, this is set in stone. I mean, it's pretty clear. It's not discretionary at all. It's not that the judge can look at, well, it's preferable that you file it within 10 days, and then I'll make out a decision as to whether or not I'll inflict the harshest penalty. No, the statute tells the judge what the judge must do, that these must be filed within 10 days, meaning that if it's not filed within 10 days, you're out of luck. And why would you want to give the prosecutor, or in this case, not just a lower prosecutor at some county or city level, but why would you want to give the state's highest law enforcement officer when you're talking about criminal? Criminal issues always try to protect the defendant against the overreach of the government. Why would you give the prosecutor, or in this case, the attorney general, more than 10 days to correct an error that they should not have actually committed in the first place? If you move the clock back, Matt, it's the attorney general who had time to draft these complaints. It's the attorney general who's the expert in this area. It's the attorney general who wasn't forced to make a filing on any particular time frame. He ultimately filed in his own time frame, in his own way, in his own location where he wanted to file it, when he filed the original 15 counts. We moved to get 15 of those counts dismissed. The judge dismissed counts 1 through 14 because they did not comply with the law, which is embarrassing for the attorney general, having filed these and 14 of the 15 did not comply with the law. Then he gets 10 days to correct it, but he doesn't do it. He waits 2 months. And even at the time that we're at the hearing for our motion to dismiss, having already served the motion to dismiss on him, he still didn't file them. He then gets granted by the judge another extension. You can file it by the end of the day. That just makes no sense. That is awarding incompetence. That is impermissible under the statute. So,
well, and it's abuse of power.
It's abuse of power, no question.
Yeah, and the defendant, you know, but for this frivolous criminal suit being filed by this evidently incompetent attorney general in the first place, Sandra Merritt wouldn't be setting foot in court. She would have no reason to be there. So it's incumbent upon him to move forward within the confines of the law. He has not done that, the attorney general, nor has the judge.
No, he hasn't. This is in San Francisco, so we're talking about abortion. And so those kinds of things begin to distort the law. And that's what ultimately erodes the confidence of people when they look at clear letter of law, how it should go. We should only now be dealing with count 15, which is very weak, by the way. That's a conspiracy, but you have a conspiracy to do what? Counts 1 through 14 would be dismissed. And so there's no specifics to be in conspiracy with. Plus, it's basically on the law itself. It has no basis at all. Well, we're going to continue to defend Sandra Merritt. We're not going to let her be intimidated by anyone. She's certainly not going to be intimidated. She did a service by showing what went on behind the Planned Parenthood clinic doors. We're going to continue to defend her, as obviously we want your prayers and your financial support. Go to lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.